The sermon this morning is based on the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 14. I reread verse 27 to begin. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. There's a lot of notes here that I have for the sermon. There's a lot to think about in this miracle, this experience that they had with Jesus and how he saved them and how he took care of them. And we see that this is not the first time that Jesus has taken care of them during a storm. Jesus had saved them earlier in another storm in Matthew chapter 8. And I read from there, it's printed if you would like to look at it on the yellow sheet. "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?'" This miracle had already taken place. Jesus shows numbers of times, several times. He has power over all things. They had seen him heal illnesses, cast out demons, feed 5,000 men plus women and children with just a little bread and fish. And now, again, he shows his power over, as we might say, the weather. That first miracle in Matthew 8, I get a kick out of it. We say it tickles me, it makes me. Jesus just speaks to the weather and it changes. It rebukes it. What did that sound like? I think sometimes Jesus has said, "Will you stop it now?" And the weather calmed down. That was his first miracle, the first time. And in that first storm, it's clear in the word, that's why I have it printed out there, Matthew 8, that the boat was being swamped, that the water was coming into the boat, that the boat was really in danger of sinking, and they said, "We are perishing. We are afraid of dying." That was the situation in the first miracle. And Jesus was already with them in the boat. And they woke him up. He was sleeping. They woke him up. And he rebukes the wind and the waves. "Will you stop it now? Calm." And they were surprised. They had already seen this. They had already seen his first miracle. And what's very odd, and in my studies of this, I hadn't seen this. I don't know why I don't see it. You just read it many times over, you don't realize it. In the first miracle, they're afraid of the storm. It was swamping the boat. It was really in danger of sinking. In this miracle, and they're reading from today, Matthew chapter 14, they're afraid of Jesus. They are not afraid of the storm. In fact, it's clear in the words of the text that they were making it okay. It was tough. The wind and the waves were against them, but they were already several miles out from the shore. Jesus told them to cross the lake. They were fishermen. They knew how to maneuver their boat in all kinds of weather, and it was against them, but the boat was not being swamped. It's not the same type of danger. They were making it. But Jesus had told them to go ahead of him. He prayed on the mountain. They went ahead of him. But now they're in some wind and waves, and it's pushing against them, and they're struggling. And what does Jesus do? He goes out to be with them, walking on top of the water. Exactly. Now, there are prophecies or echoes or foreshadowings of this in the Old Testament. It talks about God being in charge of the wind and the waves. And Jesus shows that he's in charge of the wind and waves. Not only to say to them to stop and be quiet, and they stop and be quiet, but that he can actually walk on the water with his feet on top. When they saw Jesus in the second time in our reading for today, it said they were afraid of Jesus. And it says three specific things there. It says they were terrified. They said Jesus was a ghost. And it says they cried out in fear. Now, they had already seen Jesus calm a storm. They had already seen Jesus toss out demons. They had already seen Jesus do other miracles. And they had heard Jesus teaching of God's care for his people. They saw this over and over again. So when Jesus speaks to them in the midst of the storm, and they're not afraid of drowning, but they're afraid of him, what does Jesus say? He says to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Take heart. That's it literally. We would say also, be brave. Take courage. It's I. I'm coming to you. See, I'm coming to you. I have so much power. I can even walk on the water. I'm with you. Do not be afraid. So now comes Peter's reaction. And it's interesting. Theologians and Bible commentators throughout the history of the church have differences on how they understand Peter's words here. Because some say that Peter was brave to do this. But we never see that it doesn't say in the text that Peter was brave or not brave, it just records his words. And what his words say is, "If it is you, Jesus, then have me come to you and walk in the water. If it is you, Jesus," let's think about this, he just said it was him. So is Peter believing or not? That's a big question mark here. Did Peter believe the very words of Jesus walking on the water or not? Well, if it is you, then have me come out. And as I say in the notes, that's Peter's idea, not Jesus' idea. But what did Jesus say? Okay, come out. Come. And the text is very clear then that Peter did walk on the water to Jesus. And then what happens? He looks around, he feels the wind and the waves, and becomes afraid. Now, wait a minute, Peter. You said you wanted to walk on the water and then you would believe. You did walk on the water, but you didn't believe. What are you thinking, Peter? He answered your prayer and you still don't believe. He gave you to do a miracle and you still don't believe. You saw him do all these things, all these miracles. You saw him and you still don't believe. You became afraid. See, to me, that is a huge word of law. For Peter, this leader of the disciples, was he really believing or not? And Jesus actually tells us, "You have little faith." He had some faith there, yes. But he said, Jesus, and I might be wrong, but it's appearing to me. He said, Jesus, I will really believe strongly that it's you if you answer my prayer with this miracle. Where do you hear that? All the time, right? I'll really trust in you, Jesus, if you bring healing. I'll really believe you, Jesus, if you give me a job. I'll really believe that you're with me, Jesus, if. Is that faith or is that unbelief? So Peter, how he acted in his responses for us, teaches us, makes us think. Do I behave like that sometimes? Do I say, God, if you answer like this, then I'll trust in you. I know you're in charge, but this, I'm afraid of this. So you need to do this. Then I'll feel I have peace. Then I'll know you're in charge. And I can find examples in our own daily lives so easy, much less look outside other parts of the church where say, if you have enough faith, then God will bring healing. If you have enough faith, then you can walk on the water. If it's all these ifs, all Jesus, do it my way. Do it the way I think it should be done, then I will believe. See, we're like that all the time. We can look at others are like that, and we ourselves are like that. And Peter really looks like he is like this. When Jesus says to Peter, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? There's faith there, but you have little faith. Is Jesus referring to the first time when he thought Jesus was a ghost, or now the second time he's afraid because of the wind and waves? Probably both. You didn't listen to my word, and you don't see the miracle, and you're still afraid. This instructs me, friends, that God sometimes may give us a yes for our prayers. God, please, I'm afraid of being unemployed. I'm worried about all this. Can you get me a job? So he gets us a job, and then that doesn't make us have more faith. We're just more afraid. Now I'm afraid of this. It leads me to think what happened with Peter here is like, why don't we just listen to Jesus' first words? It is I. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. He will answer our prayers. But if the thing was our idea, so often we think, oh yeah, God did this now. Now I'm afraid again. Afraid again. Oh yeah, God did this now. Now I'm afraid again. Why don't we just listen to his word and know who he is? He's in charge of all things. Well, so those sitting in the boat and looking what happened to Peter, he goes out, walks in the water, walks over to Jesus, starts sinking. Jesus saves him. And they're going, what are we seeing here? Jesus gets to the boat and it's calm. Truly you are the Son of God. This is who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. Now Jesus said in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So in that sense, that God's people are his sons and daughters, all of us are sons and daughters of God. That is not what they mean here. When they call Jesus the Son of God here, he is equal with the Father. He is the Lord of heaven and earth who calms the winds and the seas and can walk on the waters. He is that one. He is not, you're human, Jesus, but you're way more than what we are. You are also God. And we have to, as Christians, stick to that confession above all things. He is above all problems. He is above all powers. He is above all my own weaknesses, my own illnesses. He is above everything. And I trust and look to Him. We really need that. And anybody that would say Jesus is less than God, Jesus is just a good teacher or a prophet or a philosopher, that's all Jesus is. No, that is not our faith. Our faith is that He is the Son of God who controls all things. Then, if that is our faith and our confession, then when we say, I prayed for this, Jesus, but I'm still afraid. What am I going to do? Help me, Lord, I'm sinking. We look to Him because we know He can help us. We prayed for something. Lord, help me walk on the water. Lord, give me this, give me that. Okay, here's that. And then you're still afraid. And then you say, Lord, I guess it wasn't that what I was afraid of. What I really need is You. And as we confess Jesus is the true Son of God, then we know we can look to Him and He can help us. And nothing can take us out of His hands. The wind, the waves, the accidents, the illnesses, death, nothing can take us out of His hands. He is in control of all things for our good. We look to Him. When we look at Peter's reaction, it's hard. Is he believing, not believing? What is he doing? It's hard to measure what's going on. He has some faith, but if we try to measure ourselves and how much faith we might have at any given point, we're going to fall into a trap, because how are you going to measure a human's faith in Jesus? Is it small? Is it big? Is it strong now? Is it weak now? How are you going to measure all that out? What Jesus called Peter to do is to come to Him, to look to Him, to cry out to Him for help. That's what Jesus asks us to do, is to look to Him. That's His first words there. Don't be afraid, it is I am with you. Jesus also wants us to know His power. Whatever He would like to happen or not happen, whatever He allows or does not allow, He has control over all these things. If we're afraid of something, we bring it to Jesus. When we bring it to Jesus, He's taken care of it. He's heard us. And we don't have to worry that He hasn't heard us, or now something will happen that He doesn't have control over. When, as I mentioned in the children's message, my wife and I thought, oh no, Becky is driving with 6 children all the way from Wisconsin down to here. You know similar things in your own lives. You worry and you're concerned about this traveling and whatever is going on in a person's life, of loved ones and family. We pray about it, and Jesus hears us, and He's taking care of it. And then whether something happens to Becky and the children or not, that is in Jesus' hands. It is in His hands. And so if we would double think or double say, okay, Jesus, now I'll do this. Don't double think it. Let Jesus be in charge. Bring it to Him and believe. And I admit, I confess to you, sometimes we pray, and I still worry about Becky and the children driving. But it's in His hands, whatever we bring to Him. And Jesus always is speaking to us, always calling out to us, don't be afraid, it is I am with you. He really means that. He wants us to take that to heart. He wants us, as I put in a sermon title, and we say this, at least the way I grew up, maybe you did too here in this part of Ohio. No, I want you to take me seriously. Do you ever say it like that? I want you to listen to me and take it seriously. That's the way we said it. That means no, just don't go one ear out the other. Just don't think, I think I know what you mean. No, sit down and listen, and this is the truth. Jesus wants us to take him seriously. He's really talking to us. He really promises to take care of us. He really has died and risen for us. Seriously. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, help us to listen to you. Help us to see how you are taking care of us each day, and help us to bring our worries and concerns and fears to you and trust you. Thank you for your great mercy that when we don't believe, we forget, whatever our weakness of faith is, thank you for forgiving us and help us listen all the more to you. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. May the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing hymn 715.